Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the second half, we have Meme God, Tank Sinatra. We have Dan Dunn and Rick McCarthy. Dan, of course, the imbiber. You know, Dan and Rick of Baby Blues Barbecue. Talk about some booze and some barbecue and some pairings. First, there's LifeLock. Children, well, they're targets of identity theft as well. School or medical office data breaches are common. Limit sharing their social security number and keep documents and devices safe. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal info gets exposed, and it's done so often, it's easy for cybercriminals to steal your identity. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats. So, ones you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off. Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything Reminds Me of Something, coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold. The Adam Carolla Show presents Dan Dunn's Birthday Cocktail Party for July 14th. Let's see who's here. Let's welcome American animator and half of Hanna-Barbera, William Hanna. American folk singer Woody Guthrie is here. Did you know his real name is Woodrow Wilson? The 38th President of the United States, Gerald Ford. The inventor of random access magnetic core memory, Jay Forrester. Actor Harry Dean Stanton is here. Let's welcome actor and former football player, Rosie Grier. Jane Lynch just joined the party. From the movie Breaking Away and the Bad News Bears, Jackie Earl Haley. Let's welcome actor Matthew Fox. Phil Rosenthal's here, hoping that someone will feed him. Today, we're drinking with Dan Dunn on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dan Dunn is here. He brought the libations. Rick McCarthy's here, owner of Baby Blues Barbecue. He's brought the grub. So we're going to take a deep dive into some interesting stuff that involves booze and barbecue. I will say, hello, gentlemen. Rosie Grier was one of these guys that was into needlepoint. He liked the crochet.
One of those guys?
Macrame, you know, from your birthday.
Yeah, of course. Old friend of mine.
There was this big thing in the 70s. If, like, a big tough guy did some chick activity, everyone made a huge deal. It was like, look at this big, strong, tough guy, big macho football. He does needlepoint. It's like, okay. I don't know why that's such an insane novelty, but it was Rosie O'Grier, Rosie Grier, sorry, did Rosie O'Donnell and turned them into one huge person. That'd be the fattest kid on the planet.
Run stopper.
Yeah. So, Dan, what did you bring us today?
What's the theme?
Well,
what's
the theme? You know, we got a big holiday weekend coming up, Memorial Day. People do a lot of barbecuing and drinking on Memorial Day weekend. More importantly, though, the Carolla family barbecue is coming up.
That's right.
To tell you how excited I am for the Carolla family barbecue this year, I got offered last week, Chris will tell you, I checked with him, I got offered a free trip to go to Aspen Food & Wine, host an event in Aspen during Aspen Food & Wine. When is it? June 18th, same day as Carolla Family Barbecue. You know what I said? Screw you, Aspen. Right. I'm staying here.
Wow. Kiss my ass, man.
I'm not making that up. I hit him up and I said, I said, am I still invited? I asked him, am I still invited to the barbecue? He goes, what are you talking about? Of course. I said, all right, well, I won't go to Aspen.
Oh,
so
shit.
In honor of to get in the spirit of summer and Memorial Day, I just thought barbecuing is about bringing together some old friends, some new friends, and that's what I tried to do on
Let's drill down on bringing people together with the barbecuing. Because I have this theory that there's some underlying sort of psychological whatever that's attached to everything. Mm-hmm. I've said it many times. You know, Jimmy Kimmel loves cooking for everyone, and so you go, oh, he loves food, or he loves making food. Nobody likes dicing shit for 25 people.
No.
Nobody wants to have to preheat ovens. No. What he loves is people, and he's a nurturing person, and he loves the look on every, you know, and he'll always do, oh, for the kids, I made mac and cheese for all the kids that are coming because they're not going to want to eat the weird stuff the adults are eating. That's him.
Yeah, the cooking is his love language.
My grandfather would bust out the barbecue every once in a while. Now, he didn't barbecue. He just cooked burgers on a barbecue. But that was Laszlo. He liked people, and he was like nurturing. My dad's never been near a spatula or tongs.
He didn't even have a pot with handles.
But it's not that my dad doesn't like barbecue. He doesn't have the right mindset. The dads who barbecue are saying, come to the house.
Yes.
I will take care of you. Look what I've been marinating for a day. And that's why you love barbecue people so much. It's always the lovable. There's no like, oh, that barbecue guy was so cold and impersonal.
He's a cold fish.
He looked down his nose at me and he's preening all the. No. It's always the greatest people in the world. That's what brought them. It's not that the sauce made them that way. It drew them in.
That's my dad, Mike Bishop. He barbecued for every comically for every occasion. He would do the turkey, the Thanksgiving turkey on the rotisserie outside the barbecue.
I'm glad you said that because 3 years ago, I guess it was, I invited when my dad got sick. I was like, you know what? We all need a break. All the family from all corners of the United States came to our house for Thanksgiving. I did all the traditional stuff. My husband, my fiance at the time, went outside, barbecued hamburgers, hot dogs. He wanted everything represented at Thanksgiving.
So then that leaves Rick, who's really the only asshole in the barbecue game. Really, but that's his thing. That's his angle.
I will say this about Rick. Not only does Rick own Baby Blues and cook barbecue for people for a living, but you genuinely like to cook. Like, Rick will host parties, and I'm always like, what are you doing, man? Like, because he's in there, he's got everything going. I'm like, why would you cook?
Yeah, you're off the clock.
I think you like to do it, right? You're in that culture, the whole barbecue culture, and you know.
Yeah, and I'm not in the kitchen at work as much as I used to be anymore. So, like when I go home, I like to cook.
What is Rick?
Can we talk to that guy?
In your estimation, what is your favorite beside Baby Blues nationally? Where Martin's? We've been everywhere.
Kansas City,
Texas. Franklin's is amazing. You know, he's like a scientist with brisket.
The regions are at war. The barbecue region, right? North Carolina, you got Kansas City, the Texas. What are you leaning towards?
We started out as a North Carolina style barbecue place because we were from the East Coast, and so we didn't really do brisket well or tri-tip. So we learned those as we went. But you know, we get people from all over the country, and they're like, "Oh, that's not how we do it in Missouri. That's not how we do this in you know Georgia or whatever." But so we just kind of made our own style, tried to.
What's your personal preference?
I like North Carolina, you know.
All right.
The brisket is amazing. It's got to be moist. I've been picking at it.
Yeah. So
Mike,
I brought
Mike
stuff.
August always announces that the brisket, that's how you can tell if the place is good, the brisket or not. He's always disappointed. Sometimes he's delighted, but he always says the brisket. I kind of feel it. Look, you can go to Gelson's and buy ribs from the deli counter and bring them home, and I will enjoy them to some degree. It's kind of hard to fuck a rib up for me. I've never met a rib I didn't like. But brisket, that seems to be the yardstick to measure the talent of the barbecue chef. Does that sound correct, Rick?
Yeah, it is, because it's a long process. You know, it's about 14 hours, and you can't turn the heat up just to get it done faster because that'll dry it out. And you know, you just have to wait till it's ready.
Yeah. Well, the things we have today, we brought, and I got drinks to match with everything. We got barbecue chicken. We got Texas rib, which is unbelievable. We got What else we got, Ricky?
We have brisket. Brisket, the hot
sausage
link.
Here.
Sausage.
Yeah. Bacon blue burger.
Oh, the bacon blue burger. All right. Well, let's do a little pairing. To pair with the chicken, our old friends at Batiste Rum, Silver, made a Batiste Rum Collins with our other old friends from Fresh Victor. We know them.
Love them.
Lime and agave. This is really simple. 2 ounces of Batiste Silver, 2 ounces of Fresh Victor, lime and agave, splash of soda water, ice. And this one, the lighter color one. Let's do this and then try a little piece of chicken because, oh, that sounds good.
Cheers.
I ate all my chicken.
And that just...
Well,
that
it's is the refreshing. Last thing I put in my mouth. So.
Oh. And with the chicken, that's just great. Now, Batiste Silver, we talk about $30 a bottle, made from 100% sugarcane juice, which is kind of a rare thing. It's expensive. This is from a French Caribbean distillery made on the island Marie Galante. Great stuff. Now, Rick, what you do with this chicken? Because it's so good.
We have our own dry rub spice blend, and we rub the chicken. We smoke it for about two and a half hours, and then we grill it and brush a little barbecue sauce on the grill so it makes the skin a little crispier.
Jesus.
What's the state of L.A. barbecue? There was actually a place in Monrovia, kind of by out where I live. It's called Zeke's. And it was there for a million years.
A long time.
And I love the owner and I love the place. And we used to go there. They used to cater the Christmas parties and holiday parties and all that kind of stuff. And then the pandemic kicked in and they went under and they never came back. And I'm out in La Cañada and there's no goddamn barbecue. They, now that Zeke's is gone, it cannot be found. There's maybe a place in Pasadena or something, but I don't know. Is it?
He's asking if you deliver.
He's asking if you want to partner with him on a new barbecue. I'm hearing that. I'm hearing Baby Blue's Adam Carolla partnership out in La Cañada. There we go.
Is there? Is it getting more popular?
It was.
Are there more places popping up?
Yeah, there were a lot of places. We started about 18 years ago, and there weren't that many. But in the last 10 years, a lot of them popped up. A lot of big chefs got involved, and there were a lot of places. And they were kind of higher-end barbecue places. But I think when COVID hit, some of them went under. And
those experiments didn't really go the distance.
Yeah, so it's probably been, fewer places now since COVID than were about 3 years ago. There were a lot of them, though.
Didn't Jimmy do one with Adam Perry Lang? What happened to that?
He did APL in Hollywood, and I think it's still going.
It's still there.
Adam Perry Lang would just do the craziest things with meat ever. Probably the greatest 2 days of my life is going. Somebody invited us to go fly fishing with Jimmy and APL and a couple other dudes, and we ended up at this guy's cabin somewhere fly fishing, and Adam just like opened this cooler and started pulling out these Flintstone size steaks. It was like you never. And then it's like, oh, Adam's just gonna go. He'll just go to the grill.
Drop him on the grill.
Take care of us. But it was so goddamn delectable.
Yeah.
But I did find a piece of chicken, by the way.
Oh, good.
You did.
Congratulations.
Here's the thing. I think a light, refreshing cocktail like this with the chicken. He's great because we're going to get into the sort of the heavier meats now, and we can do that. So I also brought along Rabbit Hole, Cave Hill, Kentucky Mule that I made. And I made this myself very quickly, so I apologize if it's not perfectly.
Recipe.
But we've had Rabbit Hole before. They're from Louisville, Kentucky, established 2012, member of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, one of the most award-winning bourbons in the country. This Cave Hill, $60 a bottle. It's a 4-grain wheated barley. That means it's made with corn, malted wheat, honey malted barley, which is a very popular one for some cool beers that they do, and then a malted barley. So I did this Kentucky Mule, which is just the bourbon, lime juice, freshly squeezed lime juice.
Obviously.
Of course, top it with a little ginger beer and a mint sprig. And I think, what are we doing food-wise here? The Texas rib or the brisket?
The brisket.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you have any left of that, Adam?
Barely.
Anyway,
did Guy Fieri come by and do a segment on you guys?
He did. The first season of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives back in 2008, they called us up to see if we wanted to do some new show, and we said, yeah. We didn't know who he was, and we went out. We took him out in Venice after we got done because he wanted to hang out, and nobody knew who he was. And, you know, now he's a rock star, you know.
Yeah.
Imagine walking around with Guy Fieri and nobody knows who he is.
I know.
That, I don't want to live in that world.
Because yeah, the show hadn't aired yet. It was the first season and they were just taping him. And
he is – he could be more recognizable than Oprah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is – was it Food Network's him? Like, he is the Food Network. I mean, every show on there is either starring him or was produced by him. But Rick's being humble, by the way. Baby Blues was on that first season, but then – Guy did a best barbecue episode in America, and Baby Blues was on that, right?
Damn.
Yeah, he's been great to us. He'll come back and do more shows and have us on. And yeah, he's a
great
guy.
Rick cooks at his birthday. He brings Rick up to cook at his birthday party. You went Stagecoach. Yeah, a couple years ago they had you out at Stagecoach. So
wow.
Yeah, he does a big barbecue thing at Stagecoach.
Guy's a fan.
Damn.
So, he's great.
Well, Baby, I love – go ahead.
No, I was only going to point out Baby Blues opened in 2004?
2004, yeah.
I remember because I live on the west side. There was no good barbecue anywhere to have this place finally come into the – it was on your own Lincoln.
On Lincoln, yeah.
Lincoln, okay, perfect. Yeah. And then my question is, I'm leading to the question, where do you stand on barbecue sauce? And I like that you brought up the dry rub because I was always under the impression that, like, that's the pure barbecue. Is barbecue sauce an apology or is it just kind of a
– No, but we don't smother it like a lot of places because
sure.
I think they're kind of trying to hide –
It's an apology. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have it on the side here. We have – it's a North Carolina-style sauce. It's vinegar-based and tomato.
It's so, very – like they say about like olive oil, like flavored olive oil, you're covering something up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we brush a little bit on the ribs, but not – we don't cover it like okay. – and we don't – when we smoke it, there's no sauce involved.
Right. And we can dip ourselves. We don't just have to like squirt it all over the meat. Yeah.
Chris met a Guy Fieri impersonator.
Yeah, at a Brewers game. There was a huge crowd around this guy, and we thought it was Guy Fieri because, it looked just like him. And everybody, a line of people ready to take photos with him. So, yeah, we got a photo with him, too. And
I'm not buying that that's not Guy Fieri.
Right. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be that hard to impersonate. It's just risky.
I had this conundrum, which is... I did a benefit stand-up show Sunday night at the Improv, and I parked my car, and they had the step and repeat and the cameras and the crowd and the whole thing. And when I parked my car, a guy who looked too much like Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, boy. Hipster.
Got out of the car, and we were sort of standing at each other in the parking lot. Now, this guy looked exactly like Zach Galifianakis, but he was wearing the sunglasses from The Hangover.
A little too on the nose.
And I was like, but this is a comedy event, and it is a charity, and Zach could have come out to do something at the charity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not friends with Zach Galifianakis, but I've met him a few times. Do I say something to him? Now, I don't know that we need a Zach Galifianakis impersonator, but then I went and looked at his car, and he was driving a Camry.
Mm.
And I was like, I bet Zach has a nicer car than a Camry, but it was a new Camry. And sometimes I know a lot of comedians, much to my chagrin, they don't give a fuck about cars. They're just like, I just want something to get me from point A to point B. Like, I don't really give a shit, you know? And sometimes they're weird and cheap, too. So I just kind of kept looking at him. And then later on, he strapped on the baby Bjorn thing with the little infant doll in it. And then he was the Zach Galifianakis impersonator. But I don't know why he needed to be there. And he didn't perform. So
this is very strange.
It was like a Hollywood Highland, take a picture with me for $5. Situation.
But he was going to the event.
Was he going through the employee's entrance?
He was walking in with me. Oh. He went right into the event. Anyway, so we all have our impersonator stories.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something that adds to the difficulty level. If you run into a guy who you think is Guy Fieri or Zach Galifianakis, if you don't know them, you're under no pressure. If you kind of know them, now you're in a weird no man's land of, do I say something? Right. That was my problem. Sorry. What are we drinking?
Okay. Well, that was the Kentucky Mule with the rabbit hole. Now we're going to go on. We got this Texas rib. Okay.
Mm.
So I thought for the Texas rib, let's get a big juicy wine. Okay, this is a 2018 Robert Hall Paso Red from Paso Robles here in California. It's made with groups subbed from all 11 sub AVAs of Paso Robles. This wine was specifically designed for bold, dark, juicy flavors that would pair with spicy meats like Texas rib. And the winemaker from there, he's been there since the beginning, is from Texas, named Don Brady. And he said he made this wine for Texas rib. And Rick made us some Texas rib.
Is Texas rib code for beef rib?
Yeah, it's a beef rib.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Right. And then just throw the meat in with the wine. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's great radio when you will.
It's so good.
All right, so.
Oh, succulent.
This is aged in French and European oak for 18 months. It's a $20 bottle of wine, by the way.
Yeah.
Right here in California. You can get it all over the country. Robert Hall, what do you think of it with the
perfection.
Meat? It's so good, right?
It's really just deep.
Because you can screw, right, Rick? It doesn't matter how good the food is. If you put the wrong pairing with it, it's over, right?
Yeah, because one thing can overpower the other.
Rick, you ran your family ran soul food places? When you were younger?
No, my brother opened one in Georgia that I helped him run back like 25 years ago for a little while, or 20 years ago.
Oh, so this is we know Baby Blues. Well, your brother did.
Yeah. Baby Blues and the Corolla Lure is where the Better Man was invented.
Oh, right.
At Baby Blues Barbie. Many years ago, I had my show on Sirius. Adam graciously appeared on the show. Our friend Simon Ford was there.
Yep.
He went behind the bar at the old Baby Blues West Hollywood. Made the Better Man. Next thing you know, you had an event a couple weeks later, and everybody was drinking them at the whole. Yes. Remember that thing? It was like a book signing or something you did. And yeah,
we did a thing. This is what happens when. This is why no one should ever do anything. I was going to preface that. We would we do these events. I was so blown away by Simon's Better Man. It was so. Such a delectable cocktail. I was a little dubious. I was like, mixologist, please. And then I was also, what the hell are you going to do with mangria? But he made an amazing cocktail, right? And so what would end up happening is we'd do some event, and then you would tell the bartender, you'd go, so here's the recipe for the Better Man. You put the ice, and then you do this, and then you do the floater with the thing, and then whatever. And then at some point, you would show up at the event, and the guy had the soda gun, and he was dumping it in and mixing it with the soda and stuff. And then I would say to my guy, what's he doing? And he go, hey, man, he's just doing what he's, you know, he's doing his own thing. And I'd be like, yeah, but that's not what we're doing. This is a thing that's a thing, and he needs to do it like the recipe said. And my people would always kind of go, hey, he's doing what he... And I'd go, just tell him to do... bartenders are fucking retarded, right? Well, there's something wrong with bartenders, or is it because they don't want to be actors?
They can get in trouble here.
They can be flaky. I will say this. So last week I was in New York City doing my show, doing a live broadcast of what we're drinking at the Stand Comedy Club, which I love, and we do them there all the time, okay? The sponsor of this particular show had a drink that they wanted so that everybody that bought a ticket gets this drink. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I show up for the show, and I'm like, all right, so we're all good on the – I'm not going to say it. We're all good on this drink. And just this blank stare. I'm like, the cocktail. I sent the email, had all the – it's an easy drink. You could batch it. Did you guys not batch it ahead of time? They're like, And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
oh.
And he's like, oh, it's okay. We'll just put some ginger ale in there. It'll be fine. I'm like, that's not the drink they want. You know, like, what happened here? This isn't what we agreed upon. But
They had to put their own stink on everything, which I figured out. But this isn't your stink. It's Simon Ford's stink. So do what that fucking stink
what
and tell
was
you
it?
To do.
It was the, did he, was that when he was doing the gin? Was
the
it
rye
gin
whiskey, and it fresh lemon juice, and simple syrup.
Yes.
Okay. So this was, yeah, this, so he wasn't even,
on top.
This was pre-Ford's gin. This is before.
Right.
This is when he was,
easy
oh,
there.
Someone had a
man now. Look at him. Give him some more meat.
Just put it to the side.
So anyway, this I thought was a really great pairing. Rick came up with this one to do with the wine with the Texas rib, which I thought is fantastic. One other thing about this wine, because we care here in California, Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance certified, one of the most sustainable wines in California. Next up, I don't know if this is sustainable, but I knew one day I wanted to have this on the show.
Mm.
Rick whipped up a blue cheese and bacon burger. Which looks amazing, and I thought, if I'm going to have a burger, it's Memorial Day, it's Corolla family, what are we drinking with beer? Budweiser.
Oh, shit.
Yes. I brought some Budweiser, and here it is, the king of beers. And I did a little research on Budweiser. Mm. A lot of things I found out that I did not know. First off, do you know what the secret ingredient is in Budweiser?
Love.
Besides that.
Tears.
No, any idea?
No.
Rice.
Wow. Oh,
so,
interesting.
They, in addition to the malted barley, back in the day, way, way back in the day, they included rice in the beer. And the idea was that by including the rice, the finished beer would have a crisper flavor. Now, critics of the beer have noted that rice is a lot cheaper, so there was a cost-cutting move instead of malted barley. But it caught on, and Budweiser is the biggest buyer on the American rice market, accounting for 30% of all rice consumption in America is in Budweiser, which makes perfect sense,
right? This is a horribly kept secret because it says rice right there on the front.
But it doesn't say secret ingredient, does it? Right? Okay. And then the other thing that was really fascinating was Adolphus Busch started pasteurizing beer before we started pasteurizing milk in this country.
Wow. We know it's
to
important.
Preserve the beer. And then the other thing was he basically contracted out his own trains because he was the first guy that's like, we got to move this shit all over the country. Pasteurization to keep the beer fresh, trains. He ended up making his own trains, building his own to get this beer all over the country. And it became obviously the biggest beer of all time. And the other thing that I thought was, you always hear Beechwood aged.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it. I'm like, what does that mean for a beer? So all it does mean is it's aged in tanks that have spiral strips of beechwood. The beechwood does not impart any flavor, any woodiness or anything like that. It's just a technique that's designed to put more yeast in contact with the beer. And in fact, they're treated with this chemical that keeps it from putting anything in there, but it takes away undesirable flavors.
Damn.
And also,
Budweiser.
Who knew Budweiser was so complex?
I took a tour of the Coors Factory, which everyone should do, in Golden, Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's nestled amongst the mountains. It's pretty majestic. But story I've told before, but it did crack me up. One is the blonde chick who was 28 who ran, they gave us a private tour, had never heard of Smoking the Bandit. It was not familiar at all with the premise of that movie or taking the Coors or Eastbound and Down. I had no fucking idea what I was talking about, which is it. I don't mind that 28-year-old blonde chicks aren't familiar with Smoking the Bandit, one of the finest films ever created, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you're not allowed to do the tour of
the
Coors
Factory,
if that's if you're unaware of that, or that should be part of first day training, should be, here's, they made a movie about us and how good our beer was. Secondly, I'll never forget, she's like, we get Rocky Mountain spring water, the beer's crisp, it's finished because of the Rocky Mountain spring water. There's no other brewery that has Rocky Mountain spring water nestled in the shadows of the Rocky Mountains. And then she was like, later on, she's like, we also opened a place in St. Louis.
Oh.
And I was like, where are you going to get the Rocky Mountain? I mean, I was thinking like a human. Like, I was like, you got to truck over all this
spring
Rocky
water.
Mountain? She goes, no, it turns out the municipal water in St. Louis is just it's just perfect. It's like the pH is the same. I was like, oh, okay. You ruined Smoking the Bandit and the whole Rocky Mountain thing, knowing that you just hooked up to a hose bib in St. Louis and
you're
are making this shit.
Like, you know, the runoff from the mountains.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the whole point?
The tanks.
No, they're just going with this St. Louis's finest municipal tap water. All right. Well, this has been an amazing offering. We usually hang longer, but we got Tank Sinatra waiting out there. He is here, right, Chris? He's made it. Sorry, the barbecue is amazing,
exceptional.
The booze always stellar.
What about me,
Dan?
Yeah,
you
right.
Dan always.
I wanted to tell you one quick thing, though. I wanted to get your opinion on one quick thing because I know you travel a lot as well. When I went to New York, has this ever happened to you? I'm flying to New York, Comfort Plus. That's what I'm booked in, right?
Yeah.
I get to the – right before I get to the airport, I get a text saying, oh, we had to switch planes and we've changed your seat.
I had that out.
No, not just change my seat. I went from aisle seat comfort plus to middle seat row 42, right? And I go, what the fuck is this, right? I go – so I go up to the counter when I get there and I say, what's happening here? She says, well, we're moving into a smaller plane. So we got to – you got to get – back, and I, right. I guess I'm low on the totem pole. And I said, well, this is, am I getting a discount, rebate or something? Like, so then ultimately she comes up with a compromise. She goes, I can get you back in Comfort Plus in a middle seat, but the good news is it's right at the exit row, so you'll be the first one off the plane. And of course, you know where the story's going. I walk in, and the two guys that are sitting around, like, wait, were you on the Packers or the Chiefs? Like, both of these.
Boy.
So yeah. I flew to New York like this, like scrunched up, and I'm just going, there's no leverage. You can't do it. Remember back in the day when you were dissatisfied with the airline? You're like, I'll never fly this again. They're like, we'll give you $300 credit. Now they're like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And like, then go home.
We don't care. They'll call the cops.
They don't care if you fly at all. I hate
it. No, I know. Mike August just got locked out of our flight, essentially, coming out of Indianapolis. There is no more. It's weird. I mean, it's kind of the race to the bottom. The problem isn't them. It's us. We demand that everything be almost free. We want the cheapest version of, you know, we want to buy an entire patio set from Amazon for $39. That'd and then it shows up and goes, this stuff's junk. Yeah, that's you can't have a patio set that's made in China for $39. It is junk. This is what happens. And everyone, we've decided that we have to fly everywhere and it's got to be close to free. And then we're pissed off that the seat's so small. We're just going to have to.
But what about
and we have not done a good job at separating the haves from the have nots. The have nots used to take the fucking Greyhound. The haves would be in the front of Pan Am with the Beatles. That's the way the haves and the have. Now it's just one big pen, and you know the Concorde was invented in 1968, 69. I mean, the Concorde supersonic commercial air, whatever, the only one, Air France, that was in the late 60s. They're like, we're going to take this plane. It only holds 90 people, maybe 110 people. It's small. And they will pay 10 times as much to get from London to New York in 3 hours and 10 minutes or whatever it was. That was the model. Now, we put a fifth level on our Airbus 580. It holds 7,000 unwashed souls, and everyone is going to go from here to there for $89. It's called an Airbus. Like, they want bus in the sky. Yeah. There's no more supersonic. Here's the future. None of that. What year is the Concorde? I mean, it's from the late 60s, early 70s. It has been 50 years plus. We've not sped anything up one iota, but it's totally accessible to all the people you don't want to sit next to. But here's the promising part, Dan.
Okay.
The person you're sitting next to is equally miserable that they're next to you.
That's right.
That's the circle.
I just didn't understand. I didn't understand that Comfort Plus meant Comfort Plus fuck you. Like, if I bought a ticket to come see an Adam, one of their business works like that. If I'm going to see you in concert, right?
Yes.
I buy a ticket. I buy a VIP ticket. Not that I would ever buy a ticket because you'd let me in for free. But let's say I didn't know you, okay? Well, you're talking about this whole haves and have nots. Let's say I have not met you, okay? I buy a VIP ticket. I'm coming to Corolla. I'm doing the meet and greet. Blah, blah. Then we find out, you know, the venue's not as big. We got to cut some people out of the meet and greet, and they can't sit in the VIP seats. Guess what? You're not doing that, and we're not giving you any money back. And Adam's big enough that he doesn't care. So if you're unhappy, fuck you. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
All right. So on that happy note.
Cheers bon appetit.
Introduced.
It's the Budweiser.
Sorry. Introduced in 76. But I'll bet you they were planning and designing that thing in 69 or 70.
Oh, wow. Probably. Yeah. The first flight was 69.
Guessed? That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but it wasn't to the public. I don't know if that's
right.
What you're...
No, I'm saying in 1967,
they
were going, people are going to want to pay a premium to shave a few hours off the flight and not have to travel with Dan.
Yeah. That's a Gomer Pyle singing
minion.
Again.
Yeah, they start producing them in 65.
65?
Gosh. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, the podcast, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn and Friends. That's everywhere all the time. Instagram, the Imbiber, Baby Blues Barbecue in Venice.
Yes.
It is good. BabyBluesBarbecue.com. Tank Sinatra Meme God is going to be in right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Peace, man. I'm watching my kid play with her friends outside. Somehow an ice slushy drink got knocked over. Instead of looking crying, he just scooped it up with his hand and ate it. So, made me think of you, and there's still hope for humanity. I love you. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Tank Sinatra has joined us. We're working on the doc Meme Gods, which will be out a little later in this this year, which features Tank prominently. He's would we call you the most successful meme guy out there? Is that
are we talking financially or like It's a Wonderful Life success?
We'll talk financially.
No, not even close. No. I'm working on it, though. Working on it.
But you make your living doing memes.
I do, yeah. Thanks for having me, first of
all. Sure.
Pleasure to be here. Sorry I'm late.
I know your flight was delayed and so on and so forth.
I haven't flown since before the pandemic. I forgot how much of a nightmare it can be. Second of all, I didn't realize how back, you know, whatever. I forgot. I was just saying I forgot. So thanks for working with me. And I'm having a good time. Having a great time. My life is beyond my wildest dreams.
Well, you're doing a job that didn't exist, and I always say this, how could you tell your kids, like, you got to study hard or you won't amount to anything, like, anymore? You make your living the way you make your living, I make mine. These jobs didn't even exist a few years ago.
Well, it's hard to – listen, you got to do – something. Like, the way I get my son to do his homework is to tell him that discipline is doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it to get the result that you do want. So, like, doing homework, or he wants to be a YouTuber when he grows up, right? That involves a lot of editing, right? So something that broke my heart, dude. He messes around. He watches Roblox videos and video games, and he watches my videos online. He sent me a text once. He's like, Dad, I want to be famous. I want to be famous like you, Dad. I'm like, first of all, you don't want to be famous like me. You want to be actually famous. Seriously. Second of all, whatever you want to do, man. I mean, my wife looked at me when he was about 4 or 5 years old. She goes, what do you think he's going to do when he grows up? I go, I don't know. She goes, I wonder if your mom knew what you were going to do when you were growing up. And I was like, it didn't even exist at that point. The internet didn't even exist in 1985.
Well, how did it start for you?
It started with a love of comedy. I mean, I'm a comedy fanatic, a comedy student, and I love humor in all its forms, all its facets. And I'll fast forward through the common, you know, discovering records of Bill Cosby, or, you know, I remember seeing the first inkling that I got that people were professional for a living was when I saw Full Frontal Comedy, a show. I don't remember if it was on Showtime or Cinemax or whatever it was, but it was Joe Rogan and Dom Herrera in like 1994. Sorry.
And I mean,
for a 14-year-old, I was like, these guys are fucking amazing. I couldn't believe how funny they were.
Yeah, Dom was a big stand-up in the 90s.
Unreal.
I will see him wandering around the Laugh Factory on occasion, but it's been a while.
Yeah, he's been at it for a long time.
He used to come in and do the morning radio show. Remember Dom would come in?
Yeah. He was always
so fun. Is there a special gift to the meme that transcends having a sense of humor? Like maybe Conan O'Brien is really funny, but he wouldn't be good at memes.
It's definitely different. Like, so I have done stand-up comedy a couple of times for a couple of runs, right? And it's very different. Like Jerry Seinfeld talks about the ability, he respects somebody's ability to extract as much as possible out of a single premise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that. I have like the ability to just see something and
crystallize it
in a moment, witty, but I don't like, it's not like I look at a picture and just stare at it for 3 hours and then I get it. I'll look at 1,000 images, or just I'm painfully aware throughout my day. My kid will say something or something will happen during the course of my life and I'll go, that would be a good meme. I'm going to look for a picture to match that later on. Or I already know what picture is going to match it because I'm so entrenched.
But it's not just memes. I'm a huge fan. I follow all your shit.
Thank you so much.
But it's not just that. I mean, you do great bits. You do great sketches. You talk to yourself. You do characters. And they're all really relatable.
Well, that's the decline of my mental health. You're what I'm saying.
But it's like those are like moving memes. You know, you're still capturing the zeitgeist. You're still making it super relatable, but it's you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was me getting bored during the pandemic.
Yeah, got it.
What's the Mount Rushmore of memes? What are the three or four biggest memes?
Spider-Man pointing at each other.
Kermit the T.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, here's the thing. It depends on – I mean, you'd have to – whittle it down by year.
Yeah, or talking gifts? Are we talking, you know, just images?
It's I mean, so, okay, let me back up for a second. The Will Smith Oscar slap, in my opinion, I've been doing this, I mean, in 2009, I made my first meme on quickmeme.com and posted it to reddit.com on Advice Animals, a subreddit on there. Since then, there was like 10 images you could use back then, 10, 12 maybe.
Clearable stuff or just stuff you could make a meme out of?
No, not clearable. I mean, it was everything was pirated. It was just a picture of some freshman sitting on the steps and everyone would make fun of this kid or some girl who was, you know, an image taken from a girl who made a song about being an overly attached girlfriend. Like these things that they just didn't – there wasn't enough images. So you would just reiterate the same joke, Bad Luck Brian, Scumbag Steve. You know what I'm talking about. Obviously,
I got you.
You laughed. So – but since that time – I can't personally remember a single event that was as, I hate to say exciting because it was so heartbreaking to see Chris Rock go through that and like, I didn't like the way Will Smith handled that, obviously, but it was a huge thing. I mean, my brain was spinning.
Oh, yeah, because now you're on the clock. Like when something like that happens, you feel like, oh, my God, I got to get something out quick.
So when I woke up, so like I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning that night trying to think of stuff and trying to get it out before anybody else. Because here's the thing about memes. It's not based on my personal life. It's an interpretation of what you see. So like your stand up is based on something that happened and your perspective and a whole bunch of things that go into it. I woke up the next morning at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and the tweet that I saw was like, if you haven't done something about the Will Smith, like, it's too late. Every take has been taken. Every meme has been made. Every tweet has been tweeted. Like, just sit this one out. You're too late already. And it was true. But, like, that image is still – again, it's like I don't like using it because it's not a good image to me. It, like, represents something negative. But that was a huge moment. So that one would have to be – as far as events go – up there. That, like, stopped time.
Outside of, like, a 9/11 or a tragedy, that's, like, one of those moments that everyone's like, oh, that.
So
right away, that.
Glad you said it first. So I said to my friend Adam the creator, who's the Meme Daddy's podcast host with me, you know Adam from the movie, I said I would never say that publicly. I said, this feels like 9/11, like you'll remember where you were when this happened. Obviously, 9/11 was
infinitely
worse. In the
sense that it's a moment that we all know and remember and, you know, we'll instantly recognize.
Instantly recognize. You'll know where you were when you heard about it. Not as big of a deal.
No.
But it was a cultural
moment. So we front-loaded a couple of images for you to see if you can caption. And we can all sort of tag team this one if we want.
Yeah.
But, French Stewart in here tomorrow.
All right.
I love that guy. All right. So, Chris, I don't know what these are. So.
You've never seen it? You don't know what they are either?
None of us.
We don't do that kind of show prep.
So let me preface it real quick. So when I look at an image, sometimes it pops into my head right away. Sometimes I'll take a second. Maybe you guys say something and it makes me think of something. Maybe I'll say something and it makes you think of something. I'm confident we should land on something that's, you know, pretty good between the four of us.
Yeah, I'm sort of like you in that it'll either speak to me or it won't. And if it doesn't, I usually don't have anything. But if it does, it's like we were talking the other day about when I
look like this
guy and you look like that guy. And then someone will go, what about me? Who do I look like? And I'll go, I don't have anything for you. I have something for him. Because there's something about him that makes me have something for him. But all right, so we'll put it up.
Right,
what do we got?
This is a very, very old picture of me when I got my first semi-automatic weapon.
So this is you.
And I was given a police officer shirt from a police friend.
Wearing a tight shirt.
Yeah.
This every shirt's tight.
Pre-breast reduction,
with
obviously.
The rack.
Yeah.
Holding a gun out. So you think something with the gun,
isn't that
something
great
with the,
timing for this picture, but thanks, guys.
Why is it not great timing?
So many with the active shooters and shit. This used to be okay. Now everyone's going to think I'm a fucking psycho.
Well, we can make it silly. Well, what's
but I am,
okay.
but I am a handgun owner.
Tank, what's a phrase, a word, a something?
I got one.
That's just too much. You don't want to hear it ever again. What's something the kids are saying, something that whatever's saying. What's something that people are saying? You're like, I'm done hearing that. I've heard it 1,000 times in the last month.
I mean, you can go all the way from like safe postable. There's like the Brian Regans of comedians. And then there's like the Jim Nortons. Like it depends on where you want to go. This could be something like, you know, when I told my kid to get off the iPad and he hasn't. That's like a mom meme. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If I wanted to go full blown, Donald Trump Jr. is going to repost it. This I'm going like, you know. Going replacement theory, something here.
Say
you know
woke,
what I mean?
Right. Say woke one
Say
more
woke
time.
Again.
Say woke one more fucking time.
That's yeah, good. Samuel L. Jackson, like maybe a split image. Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. See, I was thinking you need some little rhyming phrase or something.
You're overthinking
I know so little about
I'm in town from New York. I mean, I was talking to somebody on the shuttle. You know, they're talking about going to Venice. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like me just, you know, going out to get a bottle of water. In Hollywood.
Right. Oh, that's good. There we go.
But that's a geographical, you'd have to post it on like Overheard LA or sure. Something that like is,
you could
you know.
Put like Gina's like strongly held belief, like grapefruit is fucking disgusting.
Right.
Or,
you know what I mean?
I said eyes are up here, motherfucker.
That's what I was just mm-hmm. good. That's it.
Yes.
That, I think
there
that's
go.
Probably,
Thank
yeah,
you.
My eyes are up here.
You got involved the titties.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one.
Right. Next one.
Now your eyes are over there.
Oh, bless you now. No.
This is a middle school Brian Bishop
this
you're looking at.
This is not funny.
This is hilarious.
With next picture.
No.
Oh, man.
Brian.
So you used to have hair, too.
Yeah, I did.
Used
the
to
best
wear,
of us.
You used to wear cross colors as well, like I did?
I know what that is. What is that?
Clothes black people used to wear. I used to really want to be black. Bad.
Brian wouldn't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't know now.
No.
Do you have a mouthful of braces there?
Dude, braces,
a lot of hardware.
I got a little extra chin right here. I got the glasses with the two, you know, cross frames.
Yeah, the pedophile glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a young son of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're having a tough time there, I can tell.
Yeah, he's struggling.
What socially, grade are you in there?
That's probably freshman year.
Freshman year. I was going to say, yeah, that's, I mean, listen, it's a tough time for everybody. I don't really want to say anything to hurt this young man.
I heard it all.
Comes back to me in the time-space continuum somehow.
I think all bets are off. We're all friends here. The first word that pops into my head.
Brace yourself, too.
Brian, you know I love you deeply and truly.
We should go ironic if you're like pussy magnet or something.
Oh, that's okay. Good. Because the first word that comes to my mind is perhaps something in the incel category.
It's really hurtful.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dude's about to drop the hottest manifesto of all time.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, that's good. That is awesome.
Hey, ladies, my manifesto dropped
on
Tuesday.
Done and done.
Yeah, you're not going to beat that one.
That's really hurtful.
I'm sorry. Oh, but it was so worth it. All right, good. Oh, yeah.
What the
this
fuck?
This has a story to it. I mean, give him the beats.
What's that guy's name again? The bald guy?
Rob, that's Sir Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
I was going to say Rob Halford.
Yeah.
They all look alike to
me. Yeah. Yo, he does, in that picture, does look like...
little Rob Halford. Little Judas Priest.
Little Judas Priest. I was backstage in an event, and I was talking to him.
He
didn't seem amused at my conversation. But you got a dad, I'm gay, I guess. You could throw something like that out.
Sure.
Something like that out there.
Oh, my God. Yes.
But the two famous faces, I'd love to be able to incorporate.
Oh, you can't tell who I am in that picture.
One famous face.
Sure. Yeah. Sure you
Rob
can.
Halford.
The disapproval is eminent. Yeah. I mean,
palpable.
Mm-hmm.
Something maybe along the lines of like, you know, a boss sending somebody home because they're hungover. That would be like another A- or C- meme
Can you do one like, what do you mean? Everyone likes ketchup on their hot dogs.
Yeah.
Or some version of like anytime someone is disapproving of what you're saying.
Do you like ketchup on your hot dogs?
You want to divide the crowd. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does look bad there. He looks like he's... either sick or
looks
is
like
that the
Gollum.
Lighting?
He's sick of him to talk to.
Yeah, he is.
He's tired of me. That picture was taken 20 minutes into our one-sided conversation.
His face is one-sided. You're talking his ear off, literally. He's gone.
We might have to come back to this one. This is a tough one.
Well, you're telling someone something that they disapprove of, right? Is that... I've never done one of these before, so I never really get the base.
Couldn't you be like, insert football team here? you know, like, you know, I feel like there could be like a sports meme to this.
Are you a Rams fan?
Right. That kind of thing.
Or me trying to convince my dad to give me more money to buy the dip in crypto.
Oh, yeah.
Something right. Like that, oh, okay.
Right. Know. Now, is that too long?
No.
Is there any – you want them to be short or how, or it doesn't really matter?
Between 7, 8, 20 words, somewhere around there. I mean, this, if you're going to make it long, you better make it specific, which, you know, the crypto market, I mean, that's like a Wall Street Bets or a Anthony Pompliano meme or, right. You know, Parikh Patel meme, something like that. Something about Elon Musk. I mean, these guys are – that's all they do, though. That's not a geographic – that's like a vertical meme.
What's a vertical meme?
Like all they do is make memes about specific topics all day, every day.
Oh, I see.
So those pages can get pretty big, but, I mean, Wall Street Bets on Reddit, I think, has – I was just watching the HBO Max documentary on the way here. I think that subreddit got up to like 20 million. I'm making that number up, but, I mean, it was massive, massive.
Do you – changing gears, you got a board game?
Yeah.
Well,
very excited.
Based on everybody, and I'm going to go ahead and just say everybody's favorite Instagram account.
Yeah. Influencers in the Wild. I mean, this is the most – this will free me from the clutches of Mark Zuckerberg if all goes right. I'm just kidding, Mark. I love you. I love you so much.
Are you familiar with that account?
No.
No, you're not. He's not really up on Instagram.
I go to bring a trailer and look at cars. That's all I do.
This is the greatest. Because, you know, there's so many fucking assholes. I mean, performers around town that are you know, they're – it's like – When you see like someone like dancing and they're like in front of the Hollywood sign, but you don't think about the person who sees them dancing, like mm-hmm. they look like a fucking asshole.
Right.
So those are pretty much the videos that like the point of view of the rest of us being like, is that guy talking to himself and dancing over there?
So remember when Bluetooth first came out mm-hmm. and you'd hear somebody talking to themselves at the urinal or something and you'd mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. And then you'd see, oh, he's talking to himself.
Right.
So like you see these people out in the streets dancing, underdressed, overdressed, disrupting the community or whatever. And then you see 15, 10 feet away, there's a tripod. And you're like, oh, they're not insane. They're just an influencer. But they are maybe insane as well. But I also shoot content. So it's like I'm in on the joke, but I'm also making the joke. You know what I mean? It's not nefarious. People are like, why are you making fun of these people? I'm like, I am these people, you moron. Get off the page if you don't want to.
But it's just such a great point of view when you zoom the camera out a little bit and see the person just looks crazy.
There's no music.
Yeah.
How does it translate into a board game, I guess, is the next question.
So this board game, so Influencers in the Wild, go places, gain followers, get famous, no talent required, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that should give you a piece or a premise of what it is. So it's a board game that you travel around from – you know, you pick an influencer piece. You're either the Coachella girl with the hat and the whatever. You like that.
Great.
Or the dog with the sunglasses or the fitness guy or whatever. You roll the dice and then you travel around. I don't know if it's going to be disruptive for me to take it out. But basically you travel from the start to Bali to the desert rave, which is, you know, we couldn't use Burning Man because of trademark. But I also think it's funny that like someone got so high. They were like, I was at some desert rave. I don't know where I just came from. To Griffith Park, to Christ the Redeemer, to finally you end up at the Pink Wall, the Paul Smith store, which is like the
Mecca.
Yeah. So along the way, there's spots where you could lose a turn, which is no Wi-Fi signal. If you land on that, you lose a turn. And you gain followers along the way. The goal is to gain as many followers as possible on your way to the Pink Wall. So all the fun is in the blue spots. So it's like 90 spaces and it's like a couple of lose a turn, a couple of gain 50,000. And then the majority is the blue spots where you pick a card. And then the cards are rewards, challenges, penalties, or questions. So the rewards are like, you know, The Rock reposted your meme, gain 50,000 followers.
Right.
Or you're there's the board right there. What a team.
Can I make up another name for it?
Yes.
It kind of has like a Meme-nopoly vibe.
Meme-nopoly.
Yeah. Meme-opoly.
Yes.
With a bit of a Candyland maze.
So it's like Monopoly, but no stress and no frustration because there is an end in sight also. So the rewards are good things that happen online. In the middle there with the island, that's Fire Festival. If you land on that, you go back to halfway and you lose 100,000 followers.
That's great.
The penalties are like you pull a penalty. These are all random, by the way. So you don't know what you're going to get when you pick it. The penalties are your pyrotechnic gender reveal caused massive California wildfires, lose 100,000 followers.
Or
your dad found your OnlyFans, lose 50,000 followers. And then the challenges are designed to make people feel just as awkward as possible. So you're at a party, you're playing this game, and you pick this card, and you're behind, and you see, do your best Kylie Jenner impersonation, take a video and post it online with the hashtag influencer game, gain 200,000 followers, and you're like,
you gotta do it.
What am I gonna do?
You gotta do
How
it.
Stupid do I want to feel? Do I want these 200,000 followers? You don't lose anything if you don't do it, but you don't gain anything if you don't do it. So we didn't want to penalize people. So there's a little bit of like virality built into it. So you will feel as stupid as these people if you play the game and you pick up a challenge. And then the questions are just like designed to get people pointing fingers at each other. Who goes to restaurants just because they're Instagrammable? Who had kids just to post pictures of them for likes? That kind of stuff, you know?
And it's going to be available at Target, right?
Yeah, it's going to be available at Target. And I know listen, I don't know what's happening with my life. It's really good. Influencersinthewildgame.com. Right now, they can enter their email to be notified when it's in Target. It's supposed to be June 26th. It'll be on a newness end cap. Or they can, if they don't want to leave their house, which most people don't want to do right now, we have more coming for, you know, direct to consumer. But Target is the place to go get it.
You know, maybe we never wanted to leave our houses. We just fucking had to leave our houses because we didn't have an arrangement with our boss where I'm like, hey, I'm not feeling it, so I won't be coming in today, but I'll be in my house. But you can just bring the money to the house.
I'll be here.
I'm definitely going to be home.
Yeah.
I don't leave the house. So when are you coming by with my money?
People bringing food.
Bring stuff to the house. God damn.
When are they going to have people start chewing our food for us is what I want to know.
Like birds.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Alicia Silverstone famous for chewing her food and spitting it into her son's mouth?
It sounds about right. Okay. There was some weirdness. There's always the celebrity where the husband's like, yeah, I drink my wife's breast milk. Why? What of it? You know, it's like, sorry, but we think that's weird. Strange. I don't know why you're saying that into a camera lens, but there's always some weird parenting.
Oh, that's the Ben Kingsley meme. Yes, I drink one. Don't you?
Right.
Who doesn't?
That's the Ben Kingsley. All right. A happy note to go out on the board game, The Influencers in the Wild, and available soon at Target or the website. As well, Meme Daddies is the podcast, and the documentary Meme God's going to be out a little bit later this year. Tank, I know it was a long, perilous,
harrowing
trip over here, but we're glad you made it.
Well, I've been watching you for a long time, and I've been a fan for a long time, so I appreciate you guys having me on.
Our pleasure, Tank Sinatra, and Dan Dunn, and Rick McCarthy. And until next time, this is Adam for Dan and Rick and Tank and Gina and Bald. Say it. Mahalo. And this breaking news, Adam Carolla is in fact gay.
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.